morning, I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to The Future is Female. This is the show where we find the extraordinary in every woman. I'm delighted to introduce my guest today, Christine Chin. She's chairperson of the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, Slango, better known as SPCA Slango. Christine, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Good of you to join me today. So I understand you joined SPCA some 20 years ago, is that right?
30.
30 years ago, okay. It's been 3 decades now. What made you passionate about devoting a life to the welfare of animals?
Well, I've always actually started off loving, you know, companion animals, dogs and cats. And when I turned 29, going to 30, as a lady, as a woman, you know, we all think, oh my gosh, turning 30 is a big
step. It's a milestone.
Yeah, you know, I'm getting old and all that stuff, but I feel very young now at 62. So I decided, what do I want to do? Because at that time, I had a very successful career in stockbroking. And I said, hey, I'd like to help animals, you know. So I walked into the SPCA and that stepped. You know, I took that step and have never left.
Okay.
What I love about it is that when I went in, it was, I would use the word disarray.
Okay.
Yeah. The accounting structure wasn't there. The structure to improve animal welfare was just very reactive. Mm. So, you know, I look at it in a very holistic manner. And so therefore, the SPCA today is an integrated animal welfare organization. So it is not just reactive, it is proactive and also holistic. And not only do we look after animals within our compound, we also educate people to look after animals outside, you know, to reach out to all Malaysians to become responsible pet owners.
Okay, so paint me a picture for those who are not familiar with SPCA Slango. Where is it? What is it? How many animals do you house? What do? You mentioned education, but what are the different pillars that SPCA Slango looks at?
Most shelters, I would say, in Asia or maybe all over the world, are very reactive. Mm. Meaning, whenever there are animals being abused, they will go, you know, and rectify the situation. Or if animals are in distress, they will go and, you know, help the animals, which is a good thing already as it is. But just think about it. You know, if you do not know the source and the reason why the animals have come to this, then you really haven't resolved the whole picture.
Mm.
You are only doing a reactive situation. So as chairman, I need to look at the whole situation to resolve it. So there are a lot of issues. So one of the things we do is, of course, we rehabilitate animals that are sent to us. We help animals in distress. But we do a lot of education. We do a lot of government lobbying. We do spay neuter. We offer major discounts under the beautiful Tengku Permaisuri Selangor, who actually fundraises for SFS, Stray Free Selangor Fund, the humane and compassionate way. Later on, we'll talk about, you know, municipal catching and killing. Unfortunately, that is the current situation. But we want to have Stray Free Selangor, not the catch and kill way, but more the humane and compassionate way. It's, you stop at source. We have a geometrical problem because stray problem is complex because you have many different reasons how strays get into the system. And if strays are in the urban area, they are, you know, they are vilified in dogs and cats, for that matter,
right.
Strays, because the urban society does not want to see dogs and cats running around.
So what do strays represent to the modern society?
Stray animals, unfortunately, in the municipal council, they are labelled as pests.
As pests?
Pests. So the municipal council see them as pests, as if they are rats and rodents, you know, and crows and cockroaches. So, in fact, when I first joined SPCA and I heard it, I cried. Because I thought, you know, these are just lost souls looking for homes, you know. So I must say I've gone through a lot of introspection.
Mm.
And many times, I know people who I would think have gone through my situation would have said, I cannot take it, it's just too painful.
Yeah.
So many animals are dumped, thousands.
Can I ask you about that?
Yeah.
The emotional fortitude that you need
to
have to
work
with.
I'm haka.
Okay.
No, but I'm like that, you know. I like to resolve situations and I take the pain. I can take the pain. Not many people can. So I told myself, it is such a painful journey. How can I, you know, use that pain and turn it into something that is effective to resolve the situation.
Mm.
And believe you me, I have cried. For years I have cried. off and on, off and right. on, not every time, right?
So, sorry to interrupt you, but when you said you know, often it's a reactive approach.
Yes.
So if you want to look at it holistically, yes. you have to understand the root causes
Correct.
Of why an animal is mistreated, there's cruelty.
Or is dumped. Yes.
What have been some of those
okay.
root causes?
So there are the ways that the animals become strays. Number one, they are already feral. That means they were strays for generations.
Right.
Yeah. So they become wild. They do not want human touch. Mm. They are very scared of humans. Cats and dogs, for that matter. So they will not be caught. When the municipal council comes to clear the streets, they will never be caught because these are caught feral.
Okay.
Yeah. Then you have those who are maybe first generation, just either they escaped from their gardens, let's say dogs for that matter, mm-hmm. they escape or they are abandoned on the streets. Okay. So these are like kids. Dogs have a 3-year-old brain.
They have the brain of a 3-year-old child.
So, yes.
I didn't know that.
They are kids. So they are like lost and don't know what to do, and they get bullied, they get killed. Mortality rate for these strays is 80%, thereabouts, from what my experience is. That means they hardly survive a year or two.
Because on the streets?
On the streets, mm. they can't, you know, from injury to human intervention to fights, mm. they die.
Mm.
And they die miserable deaths. So I, you know, through the years, I just try to find out how I can resolve it. So one of the ways to resolve is definitely, you know, to stop people from abandoning the animals, teach people that animals have feelings, you know, and also of course to have a law eventually that abandonment is a crime, right? Which is now.
Okay. Okay. Since we are on the topic of strays and creating a stray-free Selangor or even a stray-friendly Selangor, can I ask you about the current method of control with municipal councils? You mentioned to me a little earlier in our conversation that it's all councils, municipal councils
all over
in Malaysia.
So
they have
and not just Malaysia, all over the world. They do not tolerate stray animals on the streets.
Okay, so what happens then? The control method for strays is to catch,
house them, keep them for 1 week for them to be reclaimed by owners, and reclaim
just a week.
Yes, Malaysia, okay, 7 days. And I can tell you, reclamation is like 1%.
Mm.
So the rest are all just going to be put down. But unfortunately, and I have gone through this phase where sometimes it is sad to say that humane euthanasia is kinder than dying on the streets, bitten with, you know, human abuse, animal fights to death. You know, it is kinder, sad to say.
Okay.
But I hope that one day there will be no stray dogs, obviously, or stray cats for that matter.
What is the SPCA's policy on euthanasia?
Okay, euthanasia, unfortunately, is a necessary evil when it comes to animal welfare.
Mm.
Specifically for companion animals, cats and dogs, and stray animals, right? Obviously, if the quality of life of a cat and dog has deteriorated to an extent that it will be not viable for them to live a good life, euthanasia is the answer. So if it is like severe injury, disease, or very young, you know, you can't look after them because they're so young, they need the mother's milk, you know, the kind of thing. So these we do not agree that they should, you know, continue. We think that euthanasia is the kinder way.
Do you have to do a lot of education to the public about this?
The public is actually very against euthanasia, and the public is actually, in a way, very armchair activist
type.
Yeah.
So if you are against euthanasia, then you should be fostering or adopting.
Correct.
Or
helping.
Homing. Yes.
Or taking this animal and, you know.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Correct.
Because that the only other option to euthanasia would be a forever home.
Yes, a forever home or a shelter.
A shelter, okay.
A sanctuary.
Okay.
A sanctuary, not a shelter. Because don't forget, you know, we, SPCA, like I said, it's not just reactive, it's also proactive. So when we do all the spay-neuter education, teaching people to be responsible, you are really, educating them to be kinder to the animals and kinder in the environment. More patient with their children too. They become better, I believe, they become better and more patient parents.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, but I want to come back to what you talked about with the awareness and education about responsible pet ownership. All right, we're going to take a quick break here on The Future's Female. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Future's Female. I'm Melissa Idris. I'm talking today to Christine Chin. She is the chairperson of SPCA Selangor. We're talking about responsible pet ownership. So let's talk a little bit about the level of education. How would you say is the level of education awareness about what it takes to be a responsible pet owner, to have responsible pet care in your household? One of the things, do people even know how to handle companion animals well?
I think Malaysia has, there's a dichotomy. Okay. If you own animals and you're quite passionate, you do know. Okay. And you treat them like your kids, right? You look after them, feed them, you know, special foods and take them to the vet when they're sick, like your kids. But there are a group who are just have them as, well, they're just animals. If they, you know, I don't have to give too much care, I just, you know. Right. And then you have also a group that really just think that, oh, let's say dogs, oh, they're just for God. I don't need to give any companionship. I don't need anything. So you have that range. Mm. But whatever it is we educate them to be kind. Okay, you want a guard dog, do not put him in a cage the whole day long and release him at night. So you should be kind to the animal, so be responsible. And again, responsible ownership also means that you provide the proper food, the proper accommodation, shelter, and medication and vet care whenever the dog or cat requires. Right. Yeah. And of course, a decent sleeping place. You know, some people just,
So, cage or put in the hot sun, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And do you think there is, sorry, you
yeah.
want to
well, I also would like to talk about responsible rescuers.
Responsible rescuers.
People who may not be able to keep pets in their compound or in their garden or in their homes have a lot of Malaysians rescue animals, okay? And I would like to highlight that there is responsible rescuing and there is irresponsible rescuing.
Oh, tell me
yes.
more.
So responsible rescuing means you not only feed the animal, you spay the animal and you try to rehome the animal.
Okay. Yeah,
do not leave the animal like what you call trap neuter release projects where you release the animal in the place that you found.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I have been hearing a lot about trap neuter release. I think on social media, it's very popular. TNR accounts proliferate a lot of these TikTok accounts, Instagram. What is it about TNR that you doesn't sit well with you?
Okay. Well, I do believe.
Oh, you do believe in TNR?
No. I do believe in trapping.
Trapping. Okay.
Spay neuter, which is T, trap, neuter. Now, the R, I do not believe in releasing, as I said earlier. An animal has a three-year-old brain. You're releasing them back, okay, you release. But the point is, you're releasing a spayed animal regardless. It is still you are releasing this animal back into the situation where they can get killed.
Are there animals that are just too feral, that cannot be socialized or domesticated, that require releasing?
Yes, there are.
Okay.
First of all, you cannot catch them. First of all,
talk
about
right.
Yeah.
The most feral animals, you won't even be able to trap them
yes,
in the beginning.
You won't. You can if you, for example, use a net, you know, or you get darts. People have done that before.
That's quite inhumane.
No, not really, but you got to get darts.
Okay.
But the point is, people think that, oh, catching and what is one thing. And then that's it. I need to feed. Oh, and feeders. So responsible rescuing doesn't mean just feeding, because you are really creating a stray problem.
Okay.
Because the strays are actually very healthy. And if you don't catch them to spay, you are actually creating a stray problem. So just don't think that rescuing is feeding. No. Responsible rescuing is feeding, prop feeding, catching, and rehoming if possible. Okay. If you can't rehome to your to friends or neighbours or you know, and all that, you take them in or you find a sanctuary to take them in. I feel that releasing them back on the streets, as I said earlier, is not acceptable, especially in urban areas. Not acceptable because you have sensitivities that do not allow, you know, a natural life for the animal. And unless, of course, you have, let's say, a little forest area,
right.
You know, a little forest area, and this dog or cat are very, you know, can live in such you know, which is feral animals, right? But then you can't catch feral animals. So the circle goes round and round and round.
Okay, yeah? that's quite interesting. Does the SPCA find it difficult to rehome animals?
Yes.
Is that a problem
so
in Malaysia?
Okay. Yes. Because I think the
rehoming, homes?
The rehoming model has changed.
Okay.
And also the fact that SPCA used to be the only place for adoption, but now you have a lot of satellite adoptions, a lot of rescuers do that,
okay,
which is good, you know, which is good. So that it really actually allows us to focus on many other areas that the rescuers cannot do.
Mm.
Yeah. So the rescuers, they will have little adoption, yeah, adoption
drives
here,
yeah,
and there, which is really, really good because it's fantastic, I think.
Okay, that's good. So that work has actually been delegated a lot to the little satellite shelters.
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah. What about the level of neutering and spaying? Because that was part of what we were talking about.
Huge demand. Believe it or not, huge demand, because we actually, as you know, Tengku Permaisuri is our royal patron for the Stray Free Malaysia.
Okay.
Stray Free Selangor.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully one day it will be Stray Free Malaysia.
Actually, my dream was Stray Free Malaysia.
Okay.
When I, you know, got Tengku Permaisuri involved, she said, well, it has to be Selangor because, you know.
Okay.
So I said, yeah, sure, of course. So we started with that. And it's called Stray Free Selangor, the humane and compassionate way. Because you can have Stray Free, the kill way, catch and kill way. But, you know, the compassionate way is to catch them and spay neuter them. And it's not just for strays, really. It's for community animals. People who actually pick up from the streets and, you know, became their own dogs or cats, we also provide. So we provide 80% discount on the spay neuter of cats. The vets who in our panel charge about 120, 130 ringgit, and we provide 80%, that means almost 100 ringgit. So the owner only has to come up with 20, 30 ringgit. Okay?
Oh, so you have a panel of vets?
Yes.
For which you provide a subsidy?
Yes, correct.
To spay or neuter your companion pets?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. And for dogs, we have a 50% discount. And the charges are around 180, 150 to 180, and we pay the 50%.
Mm.
The owner pays the balance. So, as you can see, it is a very, very effective and fantastic.
Forgive me if this is a basic question, but what is the importance of
spay neuter?
Neuter?
Well, as I said, strays is a problem out there. Just one mating, a pair of cats, I think you know, the
cats.
One you can Google, right? Thousands,
right?
Because it's a geometric problem. They reproduce
so quickly
and not just one. Humans is one. They produce eight. Then this eight will produce what?
More,
but of course they die off. Okay, so that's why you don't see so many strays also. So that's why it's a very high mortality rate. So by cutting the problem at source, spay neuter. So even if you have an animal that you know pet dog or pet and you lost it, okay, ran off. At least it's spayed.
Spayed, okay.
It will
it's not contributing to
it's contributing to the over. Yes,
okay,
correct.
Understood.
Yeah.
Coming back to the issue of responsible pet ownership, pet care, many of us now live in high rise. Not everyone, particularly in urban areas, not everyone's lucky enough to live landed, but we want the companionship of a pet.
Yes, which is very vital, yes.
How do we ensure that we're still responsible pet owners even though we live in a high rise?
Okay. So the problem here, people, not the pets.
<It's>
As
always,
usual,
always
it's always
people,
the people.
The problem, yes.
Yeah. So basically, the guidelines. Okay, all over the world they have guidelines for condo pets in high rise. So we also have written some guidelines.
SPCA.
A template, and we have actually given out to some GMBs to discuss how they want to do it. I mean, it's still up to them. Okay. But we feel that animals are such a big part of people's lives, mentally as well, for their mental health, for their family wellness, everything. Mm. So it is very detrimental, I think, to just say no pets allowed just because you're in a high rise and just because they think that it will be a nuisance. So we have guidelines to prevent nuisance issues and to teach people to be more responsible with their pets within an urban setting. High-rise setting.
Okay. Yeah. So just so that I get this, to clarify so I get this straight, it is each individual building's management that will determine the level of guidelines and how strict they are.
Right now, statutorily,
high-rise
are not allowed to have pets. But most situations are such that they close a blind eye. unless there is a complaint or nuisance. So the municipal council steps in when there's a complaint and nuisance. In high rise, obviously, there will be some irresponsible owners, you know, because a dog's bark for one hour could be music to your ears, but definitely not music to your neighbor's ears. So therefore, there must be some guidelines, yeah? So we feel that, you know, okay, following these guidelines, if the guidelines you cannot comply or you are continuing to be a nuisance, then, you know, unfortunately, the animal has to be, rehomed.
Okay.
Taken out, removed. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So really, it's about learning to live
together, and understanding and tolerate.
It's part of the compassionate community, right? The caring and compassionate community. Yeah. We can all kind of learn to live with humans and animals too.
There's no such thing. I feel that we have become very, in a way, like, too. You know, I wouldn't use the word arrogant, but like, you know, no other pet should be around. Mm. No animal should be around. But
less
accepting. Yeah, less accepting. They share our world. In fact, there are more animals than humans in this world.
Right.
So let us not just dismiss them and let them take a part of your life, you know, take a part. Because I always say this, you know, they take such a small space in your home, but they leave such a big space in your heart.
That's very true.
Yeah.
That is
so
very true. Anyone who has ever loved an animal knows just how deep that love can be.
I'm gonna cry or anything.
Yeah, I know.
Saying it.
Me too. I can feel your passion, and I also feel the same way. One of your biggest achievements or contributions to the welfare of animal has been the Animal Welfare Act of 2015.
Well, yes. Well, in the sense that I really pushed for that.
Well, you know, and part of that is to show a commitment as to how we should not tolerate cruelty to animals.
Yes.
Right? So the fines were made much more.
Yeah.
I think there was jail term
from 200 ringgit to 20,000.
200 ringgit to 20,000.
Yeah. Okay. So that is a deterrent. But really, I mean, I wish we didn't have to have a deterrent. Mm. I just wish that people just want to be kind, you know, to animals. But little story behind is that I came across UK, the dog law handbook in UK, like this thick. It's called Dog Law Handbook. And I ran through it because at that time I was quite close to RSPCA and they were sending me information to read. So I thought, this is excellent. How can I, you know, at that time, you know, tell the DVS, at that time under the which is still under the Ministry of Agriculture, that, hey, you know, there's this law, let's just, you know, work on that. And I did this almost 20 over years ago. And I took it, I photocopied, I don't know, 100 sets. my own money at that time. 100 sets. And I said, every time I go to DVS meeting, I would bring this copy. And now, how did I get a step into the DVS?
DVS just for those...
Department of Vet Services. They are the ones, the custodial of animals, okay, be it farm animals, be it not wildlife, just farm animals and companion animals. So I those days, I don't know whether you remember the fax days where you had fax. Do you use a fax at all?
Yes, I remember the fax machine.
Yes, I was very active in
paper that rubs off.
responding to cruelty. I went to a lot of cruelty cases. Yeah, because at that time, you just have to go to cruelty cases. We don't have a cruelty inspector. So this one became a cruelty inspector. So I would go and, of course, document everything. Oh. And I would then do a whole, whatever, a template and format. And I would fax every night.
Oh.
Every night I would fax. And look at all these cases. So I would do that for years. And then with the dog law handbook, you know, I would keep on. So this... I honestly think that, you know, the persistence, it is something simple. I didn't take a lot of my time, right? I didn't go banging on their doors.
But it was relentless.
Yeah,
and
it was relentless.
You wore them down.
20 years. Relentless 20 years. Because that's how I had to convert my pain into something effective.
Well, now there is legislation.
Yes,
I'm very happy. Yes.
In the
couple of minutes that we have left, Christine, can I ask you, for everyone watching tonight, what can we do to help create a kinder, more caring, more compassionate society?
Apart from adopting or rescuing an animal, responsibly rescuing an animal, I think that we could have a kinder life by eating less meat, eating less animals. That's what I propose or espouse to everybody I meet.
Right.
And you look younger, years younger too. Just look at me.
Chris. It's been such a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for coming on the show today, sharing your experiences, your insights, and your passion for animal welfare.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's all we have for you on this episode of The Future is Female. I'll be back with you same time next week for another episode. Till then, I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thanks for watching and good night.